the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. Here's a fascinating question for you. Are you finding, as parents, any particular difficulty talking to your children about, say, the gospel of Jesus Christ or Christian doctrine? Are there issues that come up in the Bible you're just kind of having to scratch your head and say, I'm not sure how to talk to my kids about that? Julia Dean wrote a very interesting column in the Washington Times about the fact that even as she was talking to her own child about the second coming of Christ, she said, I found out that there really weren't very many books addressed to children about this at all. It seemed to be kind of a missing whole section of the library. Why? You know, are there things that are difficult to discuss with children? And if so, let's have a good discussion on this program today about how to talk to children about the most important issues of Christian theology, of the gospel, biblical doctrine, and even some of the stories of the Bible that may perhaps lead children to scratch their heads and say, Mom, Dad, what do these things mean? Well, how are we going to talk about that? And I'd love to hear from parents who say, here's where I've run into a particular challenge with one of my children. Here's where I'm kind of concerned. How am I going to put that together to discuss this with my child, my children? And let's talk about it. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. I could give you an entire list of things that I think many parents sometimes find difficult to talk to children about, to define what sin is, to deal with the reality of hell, to talk about the wrath of God and the love of God simultaneously, to talk about many of the things we know we have to talk about if we're going to really talk about what the Bible teaches about God and Christ and gospel. But we also know that that the Apostle Paul himself said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. And now that I'm a man, I no longer think as a child. Well, how do we speak in ways that are biblically accurate and in ways that are sensitive to children about some of the things that that we know we have to teach them and talk to them about that they may hear differently? And we may need to give some real strategic thinking to how we're going to discuss this. And my guess is for most parents, the hardest of these emerge from questions. When a child hears something and says, or reads something and says, okay, what does that mean? How does that work? Let's talk about it. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. And we're also glad to hear from you by email. Write us at mail@albertmohler.com, at Facebook /Albert Mohler or Mohler Radio, and at Facebook, the Albert Mohler Program. First, review some other issues we just need to talk about today. My heart is full. I just have to tell you, on this day, annually, my heart is about as full as it can be. Today, I had the opportunity to speak to the commencement ceremony at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, the institution I lead. A week ago, I spoke as president to our undergraduate commencement to the college, and then today, the graduate school. And I was looking at it, about 2,500 people gathered on the lawn of the seminary, on the great lawn, in order to observe the commemoration of these graduates achieving this particular milestone, the conferring of degrees and the awarding of diplomas. That's the formal language. You know, one of my responsibilities, it comes every single time, and I've had more than 40 of these graduations, is I have to say something. And I'll tell you, that's a very big responsibility. What are you going to say? What are you going to say to young people who are giving their lives to Christ and are now being sent out to the nations? What do you say to graduates who are being sent out to be preachers and teachers of the Word of God into a postmodern culture where they're going to face, well, you know what they're going to face. You know, I had the opportunity to address them today. And my address, by the way, I share with you. You'll find it at my website at albertmohler.com. And as you go to that website, you're going to find that what I talk to them about is starting something they can't finish. You know, that runs against the wisdom of the age. Let's be real honest. As children, we are taught, don't start something you can't finish. And yet, one of the most important things I had to say to these graduates is the Christian ministry doesn't work that way. The Christian ministry is nothing you can finish. And frankly, it's nothing you get to start either. The Christian ministry is started by the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This ministry was started by the Lord Jesus Christ and established by him when he said, go ye into all the world and make disciples. This is a ministry that was started as Christ called apostles and commissioned them to lead the church. This is why the Apostle Paul spoke about watering after someone else has planted and building on that soul-sufficient foundation, which is Jesus Christ himself. Yeah, you know, that really runs counter to the wisdom of the age, because the American dream, when it comes down to how people think they're going to live their lives and order their professional careers, the American dream is you reach commencement, graduation, you get that diploma, you go hang it on the wall, and then you enjoy years of professional service, and then you retire. Cash in the 401k, go on the pension, and play golf. And no slam at golf here, but I am going to tell you that Christian ministry doesn't work that way. I told those graduates today, I hope they never retire. They may retool, but never retire. The Christian ministry is not something that is a profession. It's not just a career. It's not something you can talk with your high school guidance counselor about and map out just in terms of a neat future. It's not like going into law. It's not like going into medicine. It's not like going into anything. It's unique unto itself. You know, where in the world would I turn in trying to speak to these graduates today? I turn to Revelation chapter 5. And you know that beautiful section of Paul's vision where he sees Christ as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, and he opens the seals. And you know, you recall that there's that great host of witnesses drawn from every tongue and tribe and people and nation. And I told those graduates that they're going to have to start their ministry and conclude their ministry without ever finishing anything. But that's all right, because Christ finishes everything he started. You know, the assurance of the Christian ministry is that even though we don't get to finish it, Christ will finish it. And you know, that applies to every single believer. We can't finish the work that Christ begins in those we serve, but we're going to trust that Christ will complete it. We can plan a church, but we can't make it accomplish all of its purposes. We can't lead it to display the glory of God in its fullness. We can't take the story to the end. Only Christ can do that. And that's the glory of the Christian ministry. We join a long line of faithfulness. That's what I said to those graduates today. You get in line, in a long line of faithfulness, and you stay faithful to the end. And then they're going to put you in a box and put you in the dirt, and it's okay. As a matter of fact, there have been untold thousands of Christian ministers who have gone out to be faithful and have ended up martyrs for the faith, strangled and shot and burned. And that's all right. At least it is in terms of our confidence that Christ completes what he begins. You know, what I was trying to say to those graduates today is that as you're actually involved in ministry, and for those of you who are not pastors or missionaries or church ministers, nonetheless, if you're a believer in a local church, you know, this has to be your confidence too. We don't get to finish this thing. We don't get to see in this life the saints perfected. We don't get to see in this life every eye dry and every tear wiped away. We have to wait for what Jesus is going to do in the end of time to see that. But you know, the assurance that Jesus will bring all of his purposes to conclusion, to a perfect conclusion, is what gives us the absolute confidence we have for Christian ministry. And so without any hesitation whatsoever, I could look to those graduates this morning as they were arrayed before me in all of their academic finery, with all of their parents and brothers and sisters and grandparents, and for that matter, for some of them, children and loved ones and friends out there, I could say, you are called to do this. Serve so long as you live and live so long as you serve. Let goods and kindred go, as Martin Luther said, this mortal life also. Just go and plant and serve and lead and preach and teach. Do so in season and out of season. Do so when it's safe and do so when it's dangerous. This isn't a career. Don't think you're ever going to just finish it and retire, cash in the 401k and say, I'm done with that. No, we're supposed to do this so long as God gives us breath. And those who are genuinely called to teach and preach are going to find some way to have some influence to the very end. Even if for some of these young ministers, when they are old, it will mean praying from a nursing home for those who are continuing the work even now, confident that what Christ begins, Christ finishes. There are all kinds of commencement ceremonies going on all over the world. This is that season of the year, and certainly across North America, there are thousands of commencements. We're so addicted to commencements, we've even come up with graduation ceremonies for those transitioning from kindergarten to the first grade. These milestones are important in life, and it's absolutely natural. It's indeed even normal that we recognize it. But I'll tell you, when you're sending out a bunch of young pastors and ministers, hundreds of them, to go out into the world, I get to see the changing of the world before my eyes. And I know that what these students are going out to do isn't just about a career. It's about eternity. So I would invite you today, pray for all those who are graduating from seminaries and Bible colleges, going out to enter the Christian ministry right now. Pray that God will keep them faithful all the way to the end. We're going to come back to talk about how parents talk with our children about some of the tough things of the Christian life and the Christian gospel. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. I think Julia Dean raised a very interesting question in her column in the Washington Times. She recently talked about the fact that, well, even as she was putting her daughter to bed, she saw a stunning print on her bedroom wall of Jesus Christ returning to earth on a white horse. And she goes on and says, when's he coming back? She asked. Soon, I said. Can I give him a hug? She asked. I'm sure he'd like that. It will be Aslan and Jesus, right? Yes, sweetie. Speaking there of course, what she remembers from C.S. Lewis's work, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Well, she asked lots of questions of her mom, and so her mom thought, well, you know, it might be good to find a book on this. And she said, well, she didn't find much. And that was about the second coming of Christ and about the return of Christ. And she's just raising the issue of the fact that there's some gaps here for children. And my guess is that every parent knows there's some of these gaps. And my guess is whether it's this particular area of the Bible's teaching or some other, just about every parent's run into one of those moments you say, how am I going to deal with this? How am I going to teach this? And it could be a matter of theology or doctrine. It could be a matter of morality. Or frankly, let's just be honest, it could be one of those parts of the Bible in which you come across something embedded in a story and your child notices it before you do and goes, what in the world is that? Well, this is a safe place to talk about it. This is a place for intelligent Christian conversation, and we're going to have that conversation right now. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We're going to go first to Sarasota, Florida. Dominic's on the line listening on WTWC. Go ahead, Dominic.
Hey, listening to your topic there. I'm actually a young father myself. My son's only 3 and a half. We just started talking to him about 6 months ago about who Jesus and God was. This question kind of came up in my mind because I'm thinking, well, how am I going to talk to him about some of these areas of the Bible that, you know, are kind of a little sketchy? Is he going to be able to understand it? I had to go back to my childhood. My father started talking to me about some of these things, total open transparency, I'd say about the age of maybe 6 or 7. We questions that came up in our mind because, like many families, they're faced with Jehovah's Witnesses coming to the door. Also, too, when you're talking about the Second Coming, we had friends who were Jewish. We had to, he had explained to me what the Second Coming was, how the Second Coming for us is their first coming. And I thank him for that because my education over my friend's education going through Sunday school growing up was way, way further, where some parents would say, well, maybe they wouldn't understand yet. You'd be very surprised. Your kids understand a lot more than you think.
You know, Dominic, let me just ask you, if you were given advice then to a fellow parent, and by the way, I want to honor your father right now. What a wonderful thing is you just kind of gave that testimony of your father's faithfulness in teaching you when you were a child. What would you say to a fellow parent, very concise piece of advice about how to talk to children about the things of God?
I would say use discretion. I mean, there's areas in the Bible like, you know, of course, Songs of Solomon have a lot of stuff that's, you know, more prone to adult language. Leviticus has a lot of heavy-duty stuff to do with some topics and some rules that God gave. But, you know, you can, in a general sense, take those books and explain to your child what he was trying to do in an overall sense. And as you see them growing up and can understand more, then you can break those books down a little further and you can say, well, this is a little bit more detail of what he said. You have to kind of, you know, your child's intelligence level.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to get out there and you got to explain who he is and what the Bible says in all different areas, because it really broadens their scope of who God is, instead of just the simple, you know, God loves you, Jesus forgives you for your sins. There's so much more to it that your kids can understand, I think so.
Good word, Dominic. Thank you so much for your call. Let me just tell you that I think children are probably more sophisticated than we think they are. And this emerges more from their questions probably than anything else. But that's not a bad thing. In other words, there are several issues in which I think we need to let our children's questions help us to understand really where they are and where they need to go and how we can be of the most help. You know, when it comes to younger children, just remember that younger children are not yet able to conduct what is called higher level complex thinking. Just to explain what that is, they can think, no doubt about it. They think they're little thinkers. They're little why machines. But the abstract thinking is thinking about thinking. That's what comes in adolescence, where they can think about themselves thinking, think about other people's thinking, and imagine how other thoughts might be formed. They can think of how other worldviews might work. When you're dealing with a six-year-old, that's not going on. A three-year-old, not even close. Even most 9- or 10-year-olds aren't there yet, but the 10-year-olds are getting kind of close. So when you're looking at this, I would suggest, number one, you know, teaching Bible stories is always good. A Bible storybook, a good one, is a good place to start. And then talk about what the Bible stories mean. And here, please, parents, don't just fall into moralism. Don't just assume that you're reading a Bible story in order to say, here, be courageous, or always tell the truth. I mean, those are good things, but the Bible is actually, remember, about Christ. It's about the gospel. And so tie those stories to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, point out that this story shows us our sinfulness in order that we would be reminded how much we need Christ. This story shows us just what it means for God to make a covenant with his people and to keep his promises. You know, just make sure that you're not taking the cheap road out here just by saying this is all about moralism, because it isn't. And we need to be clear about that. And then there are some things we can do just in officially teaching our children. This is why I talk about the use of catechisms or formal teaching documents with our children, in which we teach them questions and answers, because those things are important too. And load your children up with more than they understand. Now, that may run counter to some of the advice you give from others, but I believe with all my heart. I think it's a Bible principle. You know, hide God's word in your heart that you might not sin against him. In other words, load up with data, even when they may not be able to connect the dots, because that little heart needs that data, and you'll never know exactly when they need to pull it down. And remember that the Holy Spirit's doing a work in them through the Word, which only the Holy Spirit can do, that is beyond what you can see. The phone number to join the conversation is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Dominic said, you'll know the intelligence of your child and kind of gauge it that way. Use discretion. I think all those are good and important. And that's also a reminder that different children are going to be in different places at different ages. But, you know, I know some of you out there have been in difficult pinch positions. I know that. I know that some of you out there, maybe most of you out there, have had a child look up at you and ask a question and you went, uh-oh, gulp, I'm going to have to answer this. All right. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about how we do it. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Charlotte, also calling from Florida, this time in Orlando, Florida, listening on WTBN. What do you think, Charlotte?
Well, I agree. They're always going to ask you the question, and you just have to take a deep breath and pray and rely on God for the answers. But I had called in because I had belonged to an international Bible study, and I took my children with me and went to the Bible study. They learned the same Bible verses that I did, and that gave us a root of the same learning so that we discussed it on the way home. But I later became a leader, and we taught for 12 years. I taught 2-year-olds to 6-year-olds, and those 2-year-olds just were like sponges.
Yeah.
And they couldn't learn on the same level. But, you know, you just gave it so they could answer the questions, either Jesus or God, or, and then music always went with what we were teaching, and they understood. You know, you show them pictures like this is a staff, or this is, you know, Jesus came. You start simple as Jesus came to earth for us, and then Jesus is God's son, and those concepts, and they have those. They're rooted,
yeah.
And it just gives you a foundation to build on from then on out. And I think in our teaching, we think, oh, they're too young, but they're not.
Charlotte, thank you so much for your call. We're going right into a break here. I love what you talk about, them being so hungry and thirsty to hear from God's word. That is absolutely wonderful. Back with more in just a moment. You're listening to the Albert Mueller Program.
listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. I wonder, what's the question you've been asked by your children concerning Jesus, Christ, gospel, the Bible, the morning sermon, what your child heard in terms of Sunday school? Now, where are the questions? What are the questions that have caused you to have to say, wow, we're going to have to answer this? The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Love to hear from you. Meanwhile, we've heard from some folks on social media at Facebook. I love this. Elaine wrote in to ask, why would it be hard to talk about the second coming? I talked to my kids about it and how glorious it will be to be with our King forever. I talked to them about hell, about false teachers. They're 8 and 13, by the way. I think that means children, not false teachers. About the wrath of God, his love, his grace, his plan of salvation, we as sinners, and how man fell, God the Creator, etc. I always stress the glory of our Lord in every single doctrine, being about hell or heaven. It's all about his glory. Well, good grief, Elaine. I think you graduated from seminary. I mean, that's a very, very elaborate and, I think, a very faithful answer. Elaine, though, I just want to say one thing. When you ask, why would it be hard to talk about the second coming? Well, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be hard to talk about any of these things. It shouldn't be hard to talk about any dimension of biblical truth. It's sometimes hard to know exactly how to talk to children about it, and especially just knowing that that it does take some strategic thinking. I think you're reflecting that even in what you wrote here on Facebook. You are using very strategic thinking to think about how to talk about these things with your children, and you know, this is just very interesting to think about how we need to be absolutely determined that our children understand the story of the gospel, creation, fall, redemption, consummation, the whole thing, and understand their place in that story. Carol wrote in to say that she had talked to her teenage granddaughters about these things, says they want to do all these things before the Lord comes back. They don't comprehend the enormity of the second coming. All they see is they want to live out their dream life. Well, Carol, let me just tell you, what you got there is a portrait of American adolescent narcissism, okay? And that is the norm, not the exception. And the reality is we all, teenagers or not, tend to hold this life too dear. That is, we just are reluctant to give up this life. It's one of the signs of our consumerist contentedness that we are not yearning for, that by and large, we are not yearning for that age which is to come. Because we're too comfortable in this age. So these teenage granddaughters you're talking to are just frighteningly, I think, like the rest of us. Teenagers probably do not have the sophistication to sound like they're not quite so in love with this world. And you're right to be concerned about it. And that's why you've got to keep on confronting them with biblical truth and the gospel and what it means to belong to Christ. Jeremy wrote in to recommend Bruce Ware's Big Truths for Young Hearts and similar books. And, you know, that's a great thing. And we had Dr. Bruce Ware on as a guest on this program to talk about that book. That's one of those great resources to help parents know how to talk about some of these things with their children. We'll put a link up to the book and to that radio program at the site for today's program. Thanks, Jeremy. Let's go to Betty calling from Tampa, Florida, listening on WTB. And go ahead, Betty.
Yes, I just wanted to, it was more of a comment regarding my four-year-old grandson that constantly asked, why did Jesus die on the cross for our sins and was raised on the third day? He's heard it. I mean, he goes to a Christian school, and he's heard it. And I will ask him, you know, what does this mean to you? And, you know, he will respond, well, he died for my sins. But at 4 years old, you know, I'm not sure if he's really getting it or he's repeating what he heard.
Betty, I think that's a great classic example of the right way to approach this, even though I think you have a pretty good idea he really doesn't get it at a very profound level yet. What he gets is that he's been taught that this is true. And even that pattern of right response when you ask him, what does this mean for you? It's good that you are going over this and over this and over this again with him so that he has that data. He has that biblical truth embedded in his mind. Now, what we are hoping and praying for, I know Betty is a grandmother, what you're praying for is that that four-year-old grandson experiences the movement of that truth from his mind to his heart. That's the difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus, knowing about the gospel and being transformed by the gospel. And yet, we do know this, the data has to be there for that transformation to happen. Faith comes by hearing, Paul says, and hearing by the word of Christ. So keep on doing exactly what you're doing. And as he grows older, we'll pray that he'll understand more and more. Back with more. The phone number, 877-893-8255. You're listening to the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. When I was a 16-year-old kid, my father walked in my bedroom on a Saturday night and told me that I was a new first-grade Sunday school teacher. And that was a wake-up call for me. My mom and dad both so active in the local church, and my dad was at that time kind of responsible for the Sunday school for those ages. And I don't know exactly why he needed a teacher, but he needed one, and I guess he figured he had one right there in the house. So that's how I got my experience, first teaching children. I was only a teenager myself. But I discovered, actually, I love doing it. And, a part of the equation of teaching is that you have to love those that you teach. Augustine, the great theologian of the 4th and 5th centuries, said that for a teacher to be effective, the teacher has to love the ones he teaches, and he has to love what he teaches in order for it to work. And so that's important. When you're a parent dealing with your own children, well, I mean, that there they are. You love them. And you love these truths, and you want these truths to be in their hearts. And, I discovered very quickly, teaching just first grade Sunday school, that these are little question machines. They are just basically wind me up, feed me breakfast, and I'll ask questions. That's the way it works. And we are to be there as parents to give them answers. And we're also there to, before they ask, teach them. And, the exhortation to parents, command. Exhortation is not a strong enough word. Command to parents in Deuteronomy chapter 6 is to teach in order that our children would know. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. I'd love to know where perhaps you've had a particular challenge in teaching biblical truth to your children. And I know some of you out there, are because you have written me about this, and you have gotten the message through very clearly, there's some hard things. There are some Bible stories that have angular turns in them and things that are difficult to explain. You've got talking donkeys. You've got teenage boys who are killed for making fun of God's prophet. You've got all kinds of things like that, and you've got to figure out what you're going to do with it. And let's face it, folks, when you tell your teenager to read through the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, and that's a good thing to do, when your children are old enough to read, and by the way, they don't have to be teenagers. By the time a child is, say, 10, 11, 12, preteens, middle school years, they're in a position where they ought to have, of course, their own Bible, but they also ought to have the expectation that they're reading in an ordered way in order to read through the scripture. And you know what? Once they do, they're going to come across some stuff they're going to want to ask about. And by the way, that happens to adults the first time they read through the Bible. I've known people who've been in church for 30 years, 40 years, and never read through the Bible. Shame on them. And then they do, and they discover, wow, there was stuff there I had no idea about, and they want to ask some questions about it. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Very interesting stuff here, isn't it? It really is interesting because this is a reminder to us that out of the mouth of babes, out of the mouth of children, often come the most perfect praise and the most perplexing questions. Okay, so how do you answer when your child says, why would God do that? Well, here's one thing I want you to keep in mind. It is impossible for human beings to give an account for God. That's not our job. That's above our pay scale. One of the things parents should not assume is their responsibility is to be able to explain God and God's ways so that there's a perfectly wrapped up theological solution to every question asked by our children. That doesn't happen. That's not possible. That's beyond our ability. So what do? We lean into teaching what the Bible makes clear, and that is God's character. We make very clear that we know who God is because the Bible declares him to be so. He has revealed himself in the scriptures to be just this way. And then when we read the Bible stories, when we come across something we don't know, we simply lean into knowing who God is. Now, let me tell you why that's especially important with children. Please, please listen to me with this. Parents, here is a part of the glory and the power of parenting. When your children ask you hard questions, whether it's about the gospel and the things of God or about anything whatsoever, the first thing they are looking for from you is not information. It's reassurance. The first thing a child is looking for from a parent is not data, but love and relationship. One of the most important things that parents can do is assure children, I love you. I love you for asking that question. And I am going to assure you absolutely of God's love. I'm going to make very clear we know who God is, and you should not be troubled by this question. You should not be perplexed to the point of being troubled. Many times when children come to us with what they consider to be grave difficulties, those difficulties are almost immediately alleviated just by the parent giving assurance. But the second thing you need to do beyond giving assurance is give a credible response that says there is an answer to this question. I want you to know that this is not something that should be an insurmountable intellectual difficulty. We'll find out how best to think about this. We'll find out how best to connect the dots on this and make these things clear. And again, ultimately, you may have to tell your children what you have to tell yourself. And that is, I don't think I'm ever going to have a full understanding of these things until I see him face to face. You know, Charles Spurgeon, that great Baptist theologian preacher of the 19th century, he used an expression, and I think someone's even put this to song. It's poetic. He said, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. And what Spurgeon meant by that is God has ways that are inexplicable to us. God himself said, my ways are not your ways. He is not accountable to us. But when we can't trace his hand, we trust his heart. And that's a very important issue. Cognitive development is something parents need to take seriously when it comes to teaching biblical truth. You take it seriously in everything else. You do not sit down a 3-year-old and say, it's time to learn calculus. Frankly, I wouldn't try it with a 13-year-old, and most 30-year-olds aren't quite ready for it either. But you know there is a process of intellectual development. Respect that. Understand that. And so if you've got a 5-year-old who doesn't understand the orthodox doctrine of the Trinity, don't expect that you're supposed to turn him into a theological prodigy. Just make very clear he understands that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God, and there is one God. And believe it or not, he's going to find his assurance in the fact that you believe that and teach him that, and it's taught in God's Word. And if you teach him rightly, or teach her rightly, that child will wait for deeper and fuller understanding. You're listening to the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. Sherry called in and asked the question, how do you answer the question when talking to children, God always was? Oh, Sherry, let me tell you, this is a downright personal issue for me, because when I was a teenager, this was the question that really caused me one of the greatest difficulties. And when I was an adolescent, I remember almost where I was sitting when I heard the pastor talk about God in eternity before there was time. And my mind really went into a tailspin because I was trying to imagine what could that be like. And then I got worried because I couldn't imagine what that would be like. And then I got myself into an intellectual hole of doubt and concern because if I can't understand this, I can't get my mind around this, then I must be missing the whole point. And eventually, by the way, I came to understand something, and that is a basic theological principle, which is this. the finite cannot comprehend the infinite, which is to say our minds are not built to understand what eternity is like. It's just not there. Physicists can talk about infinity, but let's face it, that's a pretty abstract concept. And eternity, by the way, doesn't mean eternal time. It means timelessness. It means the realm where there is no time. And let's face it, Jerry, we can't think in those terms. So here's something else that is perfectly right, perfectly safe to say to your children. You know, one of the things that God tells us in his word is that he is completely different than we are. That's a part of what it means for him to be holy. He is wholly different than we are. And one of the things we need to be able to say to our children is the fact that he is infinite and we're finite, he is so infinitely large and we're so small, is that we really can't understand him except as he reveals himself to us and makes himself understandable. He has told us that he's eternal, but we really can't understand all that that means. But we do know that it's true because he told us. You know, this is where we need to remember that what we have in the scriptures, as the great reformers told us, is God whispering to us as a parent to a child. In other words, in the scripture, God is doing for us what we need to do for our children. That is, speak the truth simply and profoundly true. Now, when God does that for us in his word, we end up with the inerrant and infallible word of God. We end up with the Bible, and what we have in the Bible is God, as one reformer said, whispering as a kind father to his child. Well, we as fathers and mothers need to teach our children. We need to teach them the Bible, and so we need to whisper to our children what God has whispered to us. There's no way that we can come to a comprehensive and an exhaustive knowledge of God, because he's infinite. But we do know, we're accountable to know, by grace we can know how he has revealed himself to us in his word. And one of the things we need to teach our children is that's enough. Back next time for Intelligent Christian Conversation. Thanks for listening to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.